anointed. May you may. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Hey, Brother Barney.
Yes.
I need a favor. Would you stand up for a second?
Yeah.
Okay. I need a hug.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yes, sir. Oh. So the majority of this message is going to be out of Proverb number 4. So if you want to mark that place, if you brought your Bible. Hey, Dexter. Told you I'd do it. Told you I would. If it's good enough for Reggie, it's good enough for me. Hi, Dexter. I know it's tough sometimes. I love you, Dexter. You're my friend. He's trying, I promise you he is. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we will spend majority, but we're not going to start there. We're going to start in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. One of my favorites. So he got up, came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. It's a fatherly kiss. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together, for the worship we just lifted up to you, God. And we believe that according to your word, while we praised, while we prayed, while we sought you, God, that you came near us. So, Father, I pray that we are more nearsighted as we can see you closer to us. But, Father, I pray that you would help us to be farsighted as well. God, I pray for anointing upon the eyes and ears and hearts and minds in this place, that they would be anointed and open to receive your word, the power within it, and the blessing for each and every one of us. And God, I seek an anointing to speak this message, this word, God, that is your word, that is powerful and strong and true. And God, before I say amen, I lift up Jimmy before you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you. And amen in Jesus' name. So this morning we're going to talk about being farsighted and talk about the farsighted man. And we're really not talking about a visual thing as much as we are a man who can look to the future or does look to the future. Normally this means that you can't really see up close, that you can only see far away. And while that is true about vision, I want to talk about the man that looks to the future no matter what. Because I believe that we have to keep our eye on the present, but we also have to keep at least one eye on the future. And this story in Luke chapter 15 is about the prodigal son. And if you know the story, you know that the prodigal son went to the dad, asked for his inheritance, even though his dad wasn't dead. Asked for it now, his dad gave it to him, and then he went off and he wasted it. But it says that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him And this, the minute I started thinking about preaching about a far-sighted man, I started thinking about this right here, because while he was a long way off, the Father saw him. Now, you could think, if you wanted to, that he just happened to glance that direction and see the Son was coming. Maybe he did. Or maybe he was always looking that direction. Maybe he always had at least one eye looking the direction that the Son would be coming from if the Son were going to come home. Right? Maybe he was always looking that way, and so that's why he saw him when he was a long way off. Because the Father was looking for the future and looking for the Son to return. Because there was just something in him, it seems, that knew that the Son would come home. That he might have gone and wasted his money and his time, and he might have been doing all kinds of craziness. Because sometimes in our youth, some of us may have done some craziness. Sorry, I did. But the Father seemed to know and was looking for the Son to come home. And I thought, man, isn't that what a good father does? To always be looking for the Son. Like, always be looking for the Son. That's what my Father does. My Father in heaven. He's always looking for me. He's always looking for new sons and new daughters. Always looking for new ones. I'm praying for new ones at VBS. I'm praying for the little ones. I'm praying for their parents, you know? Because if we can get the kids in, maybe we got a better chance of getting the parents in. We get the parents in, maybe we can get them to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. That should be our goal at all times. Because we should be looking to the future. We should always be looking to the future. Not just about, okay, well, I'm pretty content with what we have right here. No, I'm never going to be content. I don't care if every seat's filled. I'm never going to be content. If every seat's filled, I'm going to be looking for a second service. And if a second service gets filled, I'm going to be looking for a third service. And if a third service gets filled, I don't know what I'm going to do. Bless Jesus. But we'll figure it out then, you know? And I know we live in a time that most people think two services would be out of the question. I don't believe that. I believe we're on the verge of an awakening in our nation. I believe it. I believe people are seeking after things that have been lost. And we may not look the same. Church may not look the same. But that doesn't matter. We should be an ever-changing organism that adjusts to not necessarily the fads, but to what God does, what God's doing. Because we should be looking to the future. Right? That's part of my job, is to always be looking to the future. And I try to do that. I love that the Father was just, he didn't just happen to see it. It wasn't just a circumstance or like a serendipitous, happy coincidence kind of a thing. He didn't accidentally see the Son coming from a long way off. He was looking for the Son. And so when he first caught the view, like, I just imagined that the Son's head, he just saw the top of his head coming over the top of the hill, and that maybe he just kind of leaned forward a little bit, raised up on his tippy toes, just like, could that possibly be, that's not a salesman, that's not a witness, that's my boy coming home. Looking to the future when his Son would come home. And he ran and he kissed him. I love that about the Father. That he didn't just sit there and wait for the Son to come to him. He ran to him. Because our Father runs after us. He doesn't sit there and say, well, I hope he'll get to me. He sends people to cross your path. He sends people to speak words to you. He does anything and everything possible to reach us. And I know my Father has His eye on the future. Not just my future, but all of our future. Some of you, I could say Jeremiah 29:11, and some of you could speak it from now until eternity, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God's eyes are always on the future, on your future, my future, the future of the church, the future of your kids, the future of your family members. His eyes are always on the future, always looking to the future. Yes, He is a God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is a God of the past, but He's also a God of the future and the present. He's a God for us for right now. And I thought about this, and I thought about how much He has paved the future for me, how He knew where I would be and what I would do, how He laid out the path before me. And I know that God knew my future when He first called me. I know it. Somebody reminded me when I came back to Hosanna to take over as pastor that I had said at one point over 10 years ago that I would be back here to pastor this church. And I don't know why I said it when I said it, because there were lots of times I didn't think it was ever going to happen. But God knew. God knew. Proverb number 4. Chapter 4, however you want to call it. And I like this because of the way it's titled in my Bible. In my Bible, it's titled A Father's Instruction. Could we say a man's instruction this morning? And I know I struggle with this a little bit, okay? Because somebody has brought it to our attention, Tammy and I's attention, that we have all kinds of different fatherhood situations in the church. We do. We have fathers. We have no fathers. We have absent fathers. We have all kinds of things. And so for Father's Day, some of us struggle with Father's Day. Right? It just does. It is what it is. And I'm not going to tell you about my own struggles. I actually heard from my father this morning. Yeah. Yeah. It happens occasionally. So I get it. I understand. So I'm going to try my hardest not to focus on fathers and to focus on men. Because not every man in this place is a father. Alex isn't a father yet. Praise the Lord. Someday, though. Someday. Keithan's not a father, and Hayden's not a father. Dexter, hello, Dexter. Dexter's not a father. But I don't believe you have to have a son to act like a father. I don't believe you have to have a son to act like a man. And I think we have a whole lot of men, young men in this generation who need to learn how to act like men. And men, it's our job to teach them. Right? You know why? Because we have an eye towards the future. So we teach them now to prepare them for the future. I think there are young men in this place who need to learn how to tie a tie. I know not many people wear ties. I don't like them. It's too close to something else, you know. But young men need to learn how to wear a tie. Tie a tie. You know, you can get them clip-on ones. I'm just going to tell you right now, I feel way better about myself when I've tied the tie than when I clip that dude on.
I've got one that's been tied for 40 years. Don't tie.
That's exactly right. See? These are the things that these young men need to know. Once you get it tied, you leave it tied. Right? All you got to do is slip it over and then adjust it and you're good to go. Right? You don't have to go through the whole, okay, is it up and how? I don't know how many times I've retied a tie for a funeral or a wedding or something. How many times I've gone through it. And which one is longer? How do I? Oh. When you get it tied, you leave it tied. You hang it up in the closet because someday you'll need it again. Now, Jeremiah probably does one, what, a couple times a week? Unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. The drawbacks of being a lawyer. Thank you, Lord, I'm not a lawyer. They tried to get me. They tried to get me. I'm a pastor. They tried to get me. I didn't fall for it. I do crazy shirts instead. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a man. I'm not trying to change a jot or I'm not trying to change the word. Please don't, you know, run me out of here. Give attention that you may gain understanding. Listen, young men, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Those are the words of a man looking to the future. Looking to the future of a son. Looking to the future of young men who are going to need instruction for the rest of their lives. There are things that I can tell you today that I have heard my father say. I don't even know how many times. One of my favorite pieces of wisdom my father ever gave me. Are you ready? Fish and family both smell after 3 days. Ooh, bless Jesus. That's why we pray for you, Barney. No, you're good. You're good. You're fine. And over again, I have found it to be true. Go see family. Day two, you're kind of going, huh. Day three, you're like, okay, it's time to go. We got to go. I have told Tammy before, we got in the truck and she wanted to drive. And we got in the truck that morning and I looked at her and I said, don't throw gravel, but go, 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 go. Like, it just, you just get to that place with family sometimes. You love them, right? You're going to be here for a week. Bless you. Bless you. Ooh, bless you. My house is not far if you need to take a break. Okay? Yeah, I know, Leah. It's fine. I know your sister. I've met her. But I read this and I hear this man giving instructions. And you know, I just believe with all of my heart that as men, this is what we're supposed to do. I didn't grow up with my father in the house. Okay, I grew up raised mostly by a single mom. I had other men in and out of, you know, had stepdads, had three stepdads, had other men in and out of life. And I learned a little bit from every one of them, some good, some bad. And I just think that as men, we need to take these young men under our wing and do Proverbs 4 and start to teach them. Because they are the future. And as the men of the church, we need to have our eyes on the future. There's a little one right over there. Little man right there. That we got to train him up. We got to teach him. Can I tell you, I heard the most disturbing thing this week. Is it okay if I be real? Can I be real? Can you handle it? How many of you have heard of Royal Rangers? Yep. You know what they did? shut it down in Oklahoma. You know why? Some man. You know what he did? I don't have a clue, but it must have been bad. Because they said, shut it down. Nope. We're better than that, guys. I know the men in this church are better than that. That we're going to raise these young men up. And we're going to raise them up in a way that they're going to raise up the next generation after them. And they're going to raise up the next generation after them. And it starts with what we do. Looking at Proverbs 4, looking at a man who looked at the next generation and said, I want to raise him up. I want to teach him these instructions. Here's a whole bunch of instructions. There's 27 verses in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 5 says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. Wisdom is key. Wisdom is significant and important. And we must go after wisdom. Whether that means you start reading more books, whether it means you start listening to more messages or more people, or whether you just surround yourself with people that have wisdom, get wisdom. But I love that he says, and with your acquiring, get understanding too. It's one thing to be smart. It's another thing to understand how smart you aren't. That's the best thing I know, is how little I know. The best thing I know is that sometimes, lots of times, I need to call somebody else to say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Could you help? Hey, I'm smelling my way through this thing. Could you help me, please? Because two are better than one. And a three-chord strand, ooh, man, try to break that thing. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Young men, hear that. Acquire wisdom. Stop looking at school as a burden. Start looking at it as something that's going to prepare the future for you. It's going to help you get to your future. And your future is going to be amazing. It's going to be better than my future was. Or my future's gonna be. You guys are gonna change the world. I believe it. The ESV instead of uses the word insight instead of understanding. Gain insight. Like gain understanding, gain insight. Look into it. Figure it out. Like, it's great to know smart words. It's great to know smart words. It's another thing to know the smart word and understand what it means. How many of you ever heard somebody use a word in a sentence and you knew the way they used it in the sentence, they didn't know what it meant? Like, oh, I don't think that means what you think. Jeremiah is an attorney back here. He's going, I know that lawyer. I was on the other side of the courtroom from him. He said it. I just shook my head. Bless Jesus. I think sometimes I didn't watch it. I didn't pay a lot of attention to it like some other people did. But I'm pretty sure there was a pretty public trial recently that happened that may have been a few of those moments that happened. Bless Jesus. That was a great day when all that ended. So now I can turn on Facebook or the TV and don't have to worry about what some dummy said. Verse 6. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Verses 8 and 9. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. this is a man teaching a young man how to treat a woman. This is a young man, or not a young man, this is a man teaching a young man that if he treats her right, she'll treat him right. That if you honor her, if you protect her, if you love her, she will do all of these things. And my wife's never put a garland on my head or a crown of beauty. What are you doing? But she has clothed me with so many other things, with so many blessings, and so in so many ways that they become hard to count, because I can sit here and think of all of the ways. And way number one, if I were going to be totally honest with you, okay, was that she helped get me to Jesus. And that's the truth. Because she wanted to start going to church. And I said, oh, okay, fine. We'll start going to church. And then she helped me get out of another church, bless the Lord, and got me to this church. And I was scared to death to walk into this church. Ooh, them Pentecostal folks, I don't know. Bless Jesus. Man, oh man. But the Hawkins just loved us. Did you realize that I skipped verses in between here? Right? The last point, we're talking verse 5 and verse 7. Here we went verse 6 and verse 8 and 9. Do you realize that acquiring wisdom and treating your wife right, a woman right, are intertwined in here in these verses? There's wisdom in treating your wife well. Right? There's a lot of wisdom in treating your wife well. If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Anybody ever heard that? Happy wife, happy life. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Some days it doesn't work, but you say it anyway. You see a man talking to a young man before he's even married. Before he's even married, he's talking to him about these things. He's telling him, he's teaching him, saying, look, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to go way better for you. You're going to look so smart and so wise, and you will not understand this today, but you will someday gain understanding, gain insight, learn these things. Go to verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. What we talked about before right there? Treating your wife well. And then he says, hear this, and if you do this, you're going to live a long time. If you don't do this, it's all on you. I did my part. I tried to teach you. I tried to help you. Right? You're not going to look at me and say, hey, why didn't you tell me? Man, I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you so many different times in so many different ways. I have these conversations with my sons sometimes right now. Both young married, right? One of them been married 2 years, one of them been married a year. Neither one of them in here, I can talk about it all day. If you know them, don't tell on me, please. But there are times where I get a call from one of them. Hey, Dad, you got a minute? Sure do. My grandpa told me once that his father told him when he was going to marry my grandmother, he said, Al, if you and Ruth are having any problems at all, he said, I'm just going to come straight to you and say, what did you do? That's it. That's all. That's what I'm going to do. And my grandpa pretty much told me the same thing. You and Tammy have problems. I'm just going to look at you and say the same thing. What did you do? That's a lot of times right. A lot of times. But I'm right sometimes too. Just don't ask her. Shh. Verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Verse 15. Turn away from it and pass on. Keep going. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Last verse. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. There are just those men. There are just those men. I love verse 16 because it's so true about people who just seem to do evil and want to do evil, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They only get rest when they've done something bad. It's like it's the only way they're going to sleep is if they do something bad. And he's saying in verse 14, don't enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Don't even go around them. Don't go that direction. Stay away from those people. Stay away from those men. They will not lead you to anything good. Yeah, Dad, but they're so fun. I tell you what. Go with Barney on some Tuesday night and see how much fun those guys are having. Just go some Tuesday night. They can tell you all about the fun they're having. Go hang out Go hang out at Liz's office. See how much fun those people are having coming in, paying fines, setting up court dates. How much fun those guys are having. It's going to cost me how much? Right? Don't even go down that path. This man is trying to teach this young man. Don't even go down that path. Yeah, it might seem fun for a minute, but you're going to get tired. And verse 17 says they can't sleep unless they do something bad. Right? Don't even hang out with those people. They're all around. They're so easy to find. Sometimes it feels like it's harder to find men like us who want to do the right thing than it is to find the ones that don't want to do the right thing. Right? Women say all the time, good man's so hard to find. I don't think they're that hard to find. You just got to look in the right places. Just saying. I'm so disturbed by so many things that I see in this world that are affecting our young men. Because I was affected that way. Like, in fact, at camp we had this conversation. I mentioned it last week. We had this conversation because some of these young men had these questions because of what they see at school, because of what they hear, because of what all these YouTube videos tell them, all these things. We had to sit there and have this conversation. And I was glad to be able to have it. But I wish that their fathers were having it with them as well. And fathers, we have to have those conversations as well because we're looking to the future. Because they need to gain understanding. And you know what? Gentlemen, you have some understanding. You have some wisdom. Share it with them. They need it. And I know they may not listen. They may not. Can I tell you to repeat yourself? and repeat yourself. And then when you're tired of repeating yourself, I need you to do me a favor and repeat yourself. Eventually, it's gonna get stuck right there somewhere. And they're not going to be able to do something without hearing Dad say, remember what I told you? Don't be hanging out with these evil guys. Don't even be going down that pathway. They're trying to lead you down a path that there's nothing good for you down that path. Nothing good for you down that path. Oh man. I remember one night. I thought about this just a couple of days ago. One night, me and some guys that I was in high school with were about to go do some things that I shouldn't have been doing. Well, none of us should have been doing. And one of them looked at the other one and said, where are we going? And I'll never forget till my dying day, the other one said, hell, if we don't change our ways. Yeah, those were pretty true words at that moment. Because that's where we were all headed. If I hadn't changed, if the Lord hadn't gotten a hold of me and helped me to make the changes needed and necessary. You ever heard that saying, there's no rest for the wicked? Yeah, they can't sleep unless they do something wicked. You want peace? You want rest? Just avoid evil. There's a verse that says, avoid even the appearance of evil. I like that one. Don't do it if it even looks like it might be evil. Don't mess with it if you think there's even a chance somebody could interpret it as evil. Just avoid it altogether. You're way better off. Verse 18, I like this. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I feel like that path is right that way because that pickup is shining, that bright light shining just right that way. Like that's the path of righteousness right there. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all, Hansi, y'all know Hansi? Yeah, see, it leads right to a Chevy pickup right there, just right that way. The Father contrasts the way of the evil with the way of the righteous. There's no sleep, there's no rest, there's no peace that direction. But there's light going this direction. The path of the righteous is the light, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Brighter and brighter. That means there's no darkness that way. That means you're going the opposite the way of the darkness because it's getting brighter and brighter the more you go that direction. This Father, still looking to the future, started in verse 1, we're at verse 18, and he's still looking to the future, still trying to point this man, still trying to point this young man in the right direction, still trying to point him in the way that there's the path of righteousness, the way everlasting is this direction. Go this way, do these things. Get wisdom, gain understanding. Do I need to come back there in that back row? I think it's Samara. I think it's Samara myself. The only reason I said something is because Rochelle's back there going. The wicked road? No, it is not. Because that bride is shining from that direction. There is righteousness that way. Sam, come on. You're fine. Tell her we love her and bless her. And we pray she feels better. Must be feeling better because she's calling. Amen. Final verse I want to share with you today, verse 23. There's a few more verses after this, but this is the one I wanted to end with. Because this is a man teaching a young man to guard his heart. Instructing him to watch over that thing that's in the center of you because it's in the center of you and everything flows from it. You got bitterness here, you're going to find bitterness coming out all over you. You find anger here, you're going to find anger coming out. But if you have joy here, you will find joy coming out all over. If you have peace here, you will speak peace. You will provide peace in all kinds of places. And people will say, I don't know what it was, but you just walked in the room and the whole atmosphere changed. That's what Jesus did. He walked in a room and the atmosphere changed. He says, this man says, guard your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That means don't ever stop watching over it. Be diligent in watching over your heart every moment of every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Be diligent in watching over it. Don't even give the devil an opening. Don't give him don't even open the gate a little bit. Don't open the door just to peek and see. Don't even go through to the peephole. Just don't give him the chance. Guard your heart. This man is teaching these young men he's writing this to, he's teaching them this, he's telling them this because this is a key to the rest of their life. And if they will guard their heart, and if they will guard it diligently, then what flows from it will be a spring of life. And you will bring life everywhere you go. And you will bring peace. And you will bring joy. If you've guarded your heart, if you've kept those evil paths and evil thoughts and evil things away, if you've done those things, and you guard your heart and keep those things from entering into your heart, then you're going to find that everywhere you go, you may walk into a place that is so full of chaos, and you walk in the room and it just suddenly there's a peace. And people may associate it with you. And while it may have come with you, it comes from him. It might enter the room with you. It might enter the room through you. But it came directly from him. He says, guard your heart. Can I say thank you, men? And I mean it. Barney's been doing things that most people don't know. He doesn't tell me, but I've heard them. Saw a picture of a fish Horatio caught out of his pond. Heard about him delivering furniture yesterday. I hear things about you, Barney. I got a phone call from Jeremiah this week. Because he's doing, he's a lawyer, he's doing pro bono work. If you don't know what that means, he's doing that for free. Okay? Just in case anybody's, you know, I don't speak Latin, so pro bono, I thought that was when you voted for that guy in California that was used to be married to Cher. You know, some of you were, right, you were pro bono. Curtis has almost got our train completed for VBS. Byron's helping lead and teach these young men sitting over here. And there are other men doing other things. I love watching Robert, father. I love listening to it. I just love it. And I'm so proud of every one of you. And I want you to know that. Thank you for leading. Thank you for stepping up and being the men that God's called you to be. Thank you for teaching Proverbs 4, whether you knew it or not. Thank you for your eye to the future. Thank you. Let's keep our eye on the future for our young men and our young ladies in this church. Not in this church. We have a gift for you in the back on that table. Your name should be on a bag. If you're a visitor, I don't have a name with a bag with your name on it. I'm not clairvoyant. I've never been called Claire. I don't know. But I might have something that would fit you, possibly. And if I do, you're welcome to have it as a gift from us to you. Because we love godly men because God loves godly men. And we want to bless you with a gift. There are books back there. Please take a book and wear your family out with it. It's dad jokes. Just wear them out with it. I want complaints from the ladies. I want the ladies calling me, texting me, saying, why'd you give him that book? Because it's funny. That's why. My family's going to get wore out with them, I can promise you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do. For all that you do it for the things that never get noticed or spoken of, but you do them not because anybody's ever going to know, but hoping that nobody ever knows. Thank you. Thank you for being Proverbs 4 and for living Proverbs 4. Take it with you. Teach it. Train them. Lead them. The church needs good men. The church needs good men. Absolutely, beyond shadow of a doubt. We need good women too, don't. But we're celebrating Father's Day, so don't even come to me. What about us? We did y'all in May, okay? But I want you to know that I see you. And I know God sees you. And I know He sees the things that you do that nobody else sees. That nobody else sees. Thank you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every man in this place. God, I thank you for the women as well, because some of the women help make us the men we are. But I thank you, and I pray that today, every man in this place would walk out of here blessed, would walk out of here encouraged and strengthened, that their eyes are on the future, because they know the young men will someday be old men. And that we need to prepare them for the path that is ahead of them. For that path is not always easy. But thank you, Jesus' burden is always light. And Father, I pray that the men in this place, and even those that are unable to be here today, would know that they are loved and that we count them as a blessing. Father, I pray that you would, oh God, honor them in their families today. And I ask all of these things, that you lead us, guide us, and protect us as we leave. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, please don't forget your bag.